All right. Well, I had another song planned, but the chords weren't correct, so this is an autobiographical song.
Oh.
Up on the housetop, reindeer paws. Out jumps good old Santa Claus. Down through the chimney with all the toys. All for the little ones' Christmas joys. Ho, 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 who wouldn't go? Ho, 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 who wouldn't go? Up on the housetop, click, click, click. Down through the chimney with good Saint Nick. It's Christmas time.
Okay.
Didn't realize that was autobiographical.
It is. That's in good Saint Nick. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I can't wait for the Ramblecast connection. That now I get it. Saint Nick.
Saint Nick. Yeah. No. I mean, last year I did Christmas songs all through December, so I thought I'd do the same thing this year. You know, if you remember, you know what, Nick, what
that's your best one yet.
No, it's not.
it was fantastic. I just kept waiting for
a Ramblecast. Yeah, I actually had one written out. Where is it? I had one like lyrics and all.
You really go into it.
Well, sometimes, yeah. If I have, you know, a few minutes at work, I'll write them out, you know, but the chords weren't right for this song. I was like, so when I actually got back and could get the ukulele out, I was like, oh, this sucks. So I picked another one.
It's hard to hit those high notes when you're trying to rhyme cocksucker with
cocksucker. You have to do it fast.
Yeah. Oh. Cocksucker. San Francisco cocksucker, Lou.
For those listening and playing at home, Jack's name tonight on the show is cocksuckers.
Well, because, you know, Nick went to Deadwood, so
I got trapped in Deadwood.
Well, since we haven't been on the RCAD officially in about 2 weeks here, why don't you fill us in about your Deadwood trip?
Sure. So,
I was jealous.
Since moving out to California and now Colorado, I only go home, you know, once during the holidays. I go home during Christmas. I don't go during Thanksgiving because there's no point in spending the money to go back so quickly. And so when I was in California, I'd go up to Monterey or Sequoia or something. Well, this year, I said, well, I'm going to go up and do Devil's Tower and Deadwood and the Badlands. So I made sure, you know, I had all the hotels booked and everything good to go, all planned out. And weather was great. There was a chance of snow on Friday night in Deadwood, 3 to 5 inches. And I went, yay. So it's going to be good. Good weather. Get up there.
It never rains in Deadwood.
Never rains. But it snows quite a lot. So, you know, the Devil's Tower part goes good. Get to Deadwood, knock out all the main stuff I want to do in Deadwood. And the woman at the desk goes, oh, just one night? And I went, yeah, I'm heading out tomorrow morning. And she goes, that's what you think. You know, so, and it snows 13 inches just that night. And then, and then it kept on and on and on. And I think, I don't know how many feet they got, but I was trapped in Deadwood for a few days.
Did you go to the Gem Saloon?
The gym is not the gym. I mean, it was burned. I mean, all the town burned down
it burned down a couple times, I think. A
couple times, yeah. And actually, the gym is very disappointing in town.
There's no blood stains on the
floor? There's nothing. Well, it's just a casino at the bottom, like a typical casino. And then the restaurant up at the top, I was really uninspired with. I was like, oh, it's just kind of.
Mm. Is that the one where you sent us the menu?
Yeah, the menu. That's the one. Yeah, because I wanted to try it because I was like, I'm in town. I want to try it. And it just was not worth a damn. When I got to town, though, I like going to local mom and pop shops and all that. So I asked a lot. I ran around and I said, okay. I was like, what's the one place I have to eat at? And they're like, oh, Saloon Number 10. I was like, okay. And it's like a little stairwell that goes up this little narrow and up to this roof, and that was superb. I was the only person in the restaurant because the whole town was, you know, about to be snowed in, so everyone was out of there. But yeah, they gave me a nice chicken noodle that was homemade, great. And then I had an elk steak, which I had never had before, which I thought was very good.
I'm reminded of a Christmas story because I just watched that over the weekend. So
the duck,
the duck, and the fact that they're the only couple in the restaurant.
That's what it was. I mean, it was interesting. Yeah. I love people watching. And that's why I like to take trips by myself, is just to see. And it was one of those great moments in the restaurant where I'm the only one there with like a wait staff of eight that are all just sitting around one table, like just shooting the shit with each other and having fun. And like, I'm like a fly on the wall listening to them, you know, talk shit about each other in the town.
I thought maybe you put a mirror in front of you so you could people watch. Since you're the only one there, but guess not.
No. Yeah, I just watched myself. Yeah, no. But they were nice. Yeah, I mean, you know, I had a couple of gin and tonics, and it was good. I mean, Jack knows, like, I got there, and I went to I was walking down the main street there, and first place I saw was the original saloon where Wild Bill got shot. And you walk in there, and it's, you know, it's because it's been raised. The whole town was raised in the early 20th century because it would flood so much. And
because there's no bathrooms.
Yeah. And, you know, the level was just a regular, like, Western, what you would think of a saloon, but it's modern. And then there's a stairwell, and it says, you know, for $5 or a beer, you know, just buy something at the bar. You can go down and see the – it's been remade, but that was the location where that saloon was where he was shot. And so I got to see where that was and, you know, and sat down there and had a beer and, you know, had lunch and then walked up to the graves, and it's a good little town. It's, you can knock out Deadwood, the historical parts, probably in 2 hours if you hoofed it. And then I went to the museum and saw like the history of Deadwood and all that. I mean, they got some stuff to do, but I was a little disappointed in the fact that there's so many casinos. You know, it kind of hurts the vibe of the town. Like, you know, you don't mind a few here and there, but like every single place down the strip is just casino, casino, casino. And you're like,
Did anybody call you cocksucker while you were there?
They should have, you know. I was disappointed, you know, that no one, you know, the body was not thrown at my feet or, somebody tried to solicit prostitution on me, you know, like, yo, you're taking her home with you, you know.
Yeah,
I was kind of wondering, you owe me a dollar, you know.
Did you partake while you were there?
In what?
Prostitution.
Not prostitution, no.
Okay, you know. All right.
I kept looking for
You didn't find Trixie?
I was looking for Trixie. I didn't find her, yeah.
She'd be pretty old by now.
I did gamble, though. on the first day that I was snowed in, I was the only one there, and there was one dealer, you know, and he was just kind of sitting there at the blackjack table by himself, and so I felt sorry for him because he was just sitting there for hours not doing anything. So I walked up and I was like, "Let's play some blackjack. Let me slowly lose some money to you." And he's like, "Okay," you know, and it was nice because we were just sitting there shooting the shit, and then he kind of taught me some things about blackjack and like how to improve my game and all that, you know. So I was like, "Yeah, okay," even though I still lost. It's one of those where like I'm just playing because I like the mental challenge of the game. I don't really care about the money because I put down 100 and I went down to like 20 bucks and then I went up to like 180 and then I went down to, you know, it's like flow of just the way the cards are.
Well, the longer you stay at the table, the longer
you lose. Yeah, right. Yeah.
I feel the same way with cocaine. So it's more of I do it for the mental challenge, you know, and not the actual, you know, drug itself, you know.
Yeah, speaking of cocaine, I know Jack saw it. Did you see that that sweater that Walmart had to pull?
Oh yeah, I did see that. Yeah. Well, you sent it, didn't you?
I sent it. Yeah. It's for everyone out there who doesn't know, Walmart, you can just Google it. Walmart was selling a sweater only online, not in store, of Santa snorting cocaine.
I'm not sure why they didn't stock this in stores. It seems like it would be a hit with some other clientele.
If I saw that sweater, I would probably buy it just because it's just so insane.
Well, that's because I go, now we know how Santa Claus stays awake all those hours passing away toys.
Exactly.
Passing out toys because, you know, well, I like it.
Pure as the driven snow.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I'm waiting for the reindeer. Ugly sweater. So,
well, that's why reindeer. Rudolph has the bloody nose. You know, the red.
Yeah. You know. Well, because he's so bitter because he was so mistreated, right?
He kept a certain optimism alive. You know, the cartoon. I recently watched The Grinch tonight. That was what my family watched. And
the cartoon or the movie?
The cartoon. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've never seen the movie. I don't even know what that is.
Jim Carrey made one.
I don't know. No, I try to just forget it. Like,
I
like Jim Carrey,
right?
And I like the Grinch, but that version should just—it's an abomination, in my opinion. But the family, we sat down to watch the Grinch, and there's a lot you can identify with the Grinch. Like,
absolutely,
he's annoyed that people are making too much noise.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. He kind of hates their consumerism. I realized on this watch, he doesn't eat roast beef, so he's a vegetarian. So I was really like, yeah, okay, I'm kind
of. That's why he's so uptight.
Look, I mean, I posted that a few days ago. Like, if you really look at the Grinch, he doesn't hate Christmas. He hates people, and that's fine, you know. And exactly. And then I've seen other memes where about the Grinch was like, look, all you really need to know about a human being is do they like dogs? And the Grinch likes dogs. So I like the Grinch.
Does he like dogs?
I know.
Does he
like dogs? Yeah,
I kind of uses the dog.
He whips at him.
He does whip at him.
Yeah. I mean, he actually like puts him through a sewing machine. Like,
exactly.
Fucked up shit that he does to the dog.
Also, I saw something the other day on Facebook where someone said, wouldn't you be a dick if someone was singing every 2 minutes you're a mean one? You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
At least he didn't staple the antlers to the head.
To the head.
So yeah.
Because he didn't think about it.
Yeah. Well, that's what in Scrooge. That's what they wanted to do with the mice.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
I do too. One last thing about the Grinch. This version had like some special features. And so, you know, my wife and kid, well, let's watch the special features. And so we're like, okay. So we put on this special feature. It was called like TNT's, like.
Would you have DVD or?
It was a DVD, yeah, that my wife had gotten from the library or what have you. So we're watching it and it's hosted by Phil Hartman.
Oh, wow.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so that dates it for sure. It was what was kind of endearing to me is like my daughter was just losing it. Like, she just lost her shit. She thought that Phil Hartman was the funniest thing.
He was funny.
And he was. No, I get it. It just was really endearing to me that, like, here he was hosting this Grinch special.
Time to get her to watch news radio.
One thing at a time. So these jokes were right up her alley, though, like, as far as, like, everything that he was doing and the special. Like, I always liked Phil Hartman, but, like, it was really fun to be able to like just be pleasantly surprised by his comedic genius in this little special.
So. A movie of his that I always liked that no one really seems to ever talk about or know is one he did with Sinbad called House Guest.
Huh.
Oh, yeah.
I loved that movie. It was great. And I still sing. Like, there's a song at the very end, like in the credits, that they're singing because they're out there grilling like during Christmas. And it's like, you know, load the grill with fatty meat, put it on a bun and eat, eat, eat. And like, I still do that. Like, I was like,
Was that Sinbad's last movie or the one that he did with Arnold?
They're roughly the same time because I think they're both around 96.
Yeah.
And I know he's said this before. Whatever. I mean, he was so funny. He just disappears.
I mean, he still did a few more comedy stand-ups. And he did another one like 10 years ago, Sinbad. But yeah, he basically dropped off the planet. Yeah.
But by the way, Phil Hartman's also in Jingle All the Way, which you're referencing.
That's right, Sinbad. He is. That's right. He is in that. That's right.
He's trying to win over Arnold Schwarzenegger's wife.
Yeah. Like,
he's trying to lose on her. So.
Because they're built the same, Arnold and Phil. Yeah. Built the same. Yeah.
By the way, tragic end for Phil Hartman.
Oh, yeah. Terrible end.
So.
Well, like, I mean, I've told you that before, haven't I? Like, it's one of those like random trivia things about his wife. That if you look at the SNL opening montage and when they're introducing all the cast members, is that she's in it with him, but it's just the back of her head.
Huh.
And it's because she thought of them as a comedy pair, you know, like, and she wanted to be famous too. And if you see when they, cause he's at they're at a diner table when they introduce him and he looks up and smiles like, you know, hey, like, if you look on the left side, that's where his wife is sitting and her earring is like dangling, like swaying back and forth very fast because the producer who was shooting all those things kept telling her to turn her head because she kept wanting to look at the camera to be Phil and her together in the shot. And he's like, no, you're not a cast member of SNL. You can't be in the shot. And she just kept trying to do it. And so like her head turns that quickly. And that's why her earring is flying.
I never knew that.
Yeah. It's just one. I knew
she wanted to be famous, but I didn't know that.
Well,
for everyone who doesn't know, Phil's wife is the one who killed him. If people don't know who Phil Hartman is.
Murder, suicide.
Yeah.
So sad end. So anyway, it is sad because I just, every time I hear his voice, every time I see him do so, I mean, he just had a certain
caveman lawyer.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, what he did, Ed McMahon.
That's what I think of. Yeah.
Like, he also was like a ton of voices on Simpsons too. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Like he would always pull out that announcer. He was the perfect game show kind of host voice too. So.
He did. Yeah. He had that timbre. Yeah. Of like mm-hmm.
So anyway,
he did Bill Clinton on
he did
SNL.
Yeah.
That's the one where they're doing the running and they run into the McDonald's.
Yeah, the McDonald's one. Yeah,
and the Secret Service goes, how we can't tell you. There's a lot of things we're not going to tell Mrs. Clinton.
Exactly. There's a couple of ones that he did, like when that Viggo Mortensen movie with Gwyneth Paltrow and Michael Douglas came out, like How to Get Away with Murder or. Something like that, and he did the same thing. It's like, I went and watched this movie called, How to Murder Your Wife. He goes, I watched it. I paid attention to it. It never happened. And then another one he did that was really good too. It was something about money, and he's like, for $10,000, I'll bite my lip. He's doing all the it's just, he did so many good classic things with Clinton. I don't know.
Yeah, he was funny.
Anyway, I just wanted to mention the Grinch because we're in that Christmas season. So, and I know Rudolph gets, especially Santa gets a bad rap from, a bunch of jacks out there.
Oh, he's a dick. Let's face it. You can't deny it. Are you gonna say he's not a dick?
No. He totally deserves it. He's
all right.
Santa's shirt.
And Santa
for those reindeer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So he's born out of that Mad Men era, he should be running a boardroom.
And speaking of bringing back classic things, I see both of you guys survived December 5th, 6th, because Krampus didn't get you. Now, do you guys know who Krampus is?
Yes.
Yeah, good. So I got this because I love Krampus. And so instead of having Elf on the shelf, I have Krampus on the mantle.
But it's somewhat creepy.
It's very creepy. It's meant to be creepy, and that's what
I guess Nick doesn't have kids.
I don't.
Hey, kids. Wake up in the morning.
Well, he'll get you. I think if I ever do have a child, I'm definitely going to do the thing I've been reading about, where – always wrap a few presents that have nothing inside them. And if the kid's bad, just grab one and chunk it on the fire.
No Xbox. Sorry.
I would definitely do that. Be that guy I think Krampus just told me to do something. Oh, my God, sorry. I was psychologically scarred. I believe in it. So
you should pass it. It should be passed down from generation to generation.
The Krampus? Yeah.
No,
psychological scarring. Yeah. It works. So it makes me the host that I am.
I remember the first time I think I learned about Krampus, which was through my German class that I took in high school. Mm-hmm. I took German, and the German teacher decided to play us this video. It's all in German. You're supposed to just keep up because you're learning the language. And like most good German students, I didn't know what the fuck was going on. Like, they're talking, they're showing shit on this screen. I'm like, okay, I guess I understand what's happening. But anyway, Santa walks into the people's house with this really furry, nightmarish figure behind him. And I'm like, who the fuck is that? What is going on? And I'm just watching their Christmas traditions and trying to understand. And they're talking, and it's really threatening and scary. And I'm like, wow, this Santa means business. This Santa's not fucking around. Then all of a sudden, it shows burning trees, Like, I have no idea what the burning trees were. Like, they were on fire, like forest level. And I never still to this day, like, I have no idea what kind of transition that was. Like what, you know, what was going on in that German video. But yeah, that was
Blitzkrieg.
The lightning war.
Yeah. Yeah, it just went into World War II history. Yeah, they were just like, okay, since we're talking about Christmas, we should
Actually, you mentioned German. I don't think I could be wrong, but I don't think my school taught German. I don't think that was even an option.
We had Russian. Yeah, Russian, Chinese.
Well, I grew up in the Cold War. There's no way they would have taught, you know.
We're looking for nuclear vessels.
Yes. We did a teacher at our high school that specialized in that, and so that's why it was offered. So, but yeah, there was German.
Did they rig elections like the class president stuff? Did they?
That was before that people were even aware of what was going on. Okay. So there's no.
All we had was the typical French and Spanish, and
French, Spanish, and Latin. I think was an option because my daughter took Latin. I go Latin. She took 2 years of Latin. I go, why don't you take Spanish or something you're going to use?
Well, it is one of the things now. It's like Latin. Or like Sanskrit. You know, it's like, oh, I'll just study a dead language.
Yeah. Yeah. What are you going to do? Become Indiana Jones? Yeah.
But she liked the class. Well, she got to go to Europe. The class went to Europe. So I guess that was cool.
Yeah. I mean, it isn't. I mean, you know, anyone takes osteology or any kind of anatomy, you have to learn some Latin just because it's everything medical is still written in Latin.
I don't know why she took it. Because she was a pain in the ass and would always do the opposite of what everyone else would say.
Well, she's your kid.
Exactly. That's true. That's true. That's something I would have done, but no.
I really do wish, you know, that's the one thing about our country is because it's so big is that it's not like Europe where you learn languages because you have to. I really wish I did know other languages. Yeah.
Like I said,
we've learned your language over the years, Nick.
So that's what I mean. I'm still speaking English, but I'm speaking Southern English, you know, and I enunciate that. It is funny. Like
I'm pretty fluent in Southern now.
Yeah. I had a demo last week, with some people in the Shenandoah Valley in Virginia. And, my boss was sitting there with me and he just looked at me like, I don't know what they're saying. Yeah. Cause like one woman had the very high pitched Southern accent. That's more like South Carolina. And then the guy had that very Virginia where it sounds like you've got marbles in your mouth. So it's like, all right, going down there, going, it's like, God,
get that Nick guy. We need a translator fast. You do.
But even sometimes they get me too. I'm just like, I don't know what they're saying. But yeah. I love accents though and why people say what they do. But
what to say, what to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they do.
So, Jack, sidebar into did you notice in this current week's episode of Mandalorian what Western it borrowed from?
This one. I had them all, but I'm trying to remember the episode.
You know, where the kid, bounty hunter.
Oh, the bounty hunter, the gunslinger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which one did you guys think? I didn't.
Searchers.
Nick was up on it. Yeah, the searchers.
The searchers.
Yeah, I had the other one, Magnificent Seven.
Yeah.
You know, but this one I didn't pick it up. We didn't talk about it on the episode.
Oh,
we just kind of talked about how at Eckhart Richter and JP were kind of talking about how it's kind of just on a treadmill right now, Mandalorian. It's kind of like, which way is it going to go?
Oh, right. Yeah, Matt and I had.
They need to. Is it going to be more of a kid show? Or more for adults.
Well, I think they're skirting that line, you know,
that
razor's edge of that, and I think it's doing a good job. But yeah, Matt and I think I think at the end did discuss. We might discuss it after. We're going to talk about like how would this season end, and you know, we think that Baby Yoda probably will be kidnapped or taken.
Put into danger. I mean,
yeah, put into danger. Yeah, and you know, so it opens it up for the next season of him in pursuit. You know, or something.
I can see that. Yeah, I can see that. But the first two episodes were more for adults. But it's kind of
Were they?
Well, yeah.
It was because the first episode is fairly violent.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, it does, and yet it diffuses it. And I think that the second episode doesn't have a lot of adult stuff in it either. So the second episode with the Jawas, it seems. Yeah. Sorry, we're getting into some slight spoilery talk.
I'm still enjoying it.
Again, light spoilers for The Mandalorian. So if you haven't listened or watched any of this, you know, you can skip forward.
Blame Nick. Well, you probably didn't.
I mean, we can stop talking about it. I just was curious because I know that Jack likes Westerns, so I wanted to see if he...
I didn't pick up on that one.
Well, like this one, like that was my one critique of this episode was I felt it should have been either an hour-long episode or a two-parter because I really wanted... I felt it was a waste of the mercenary woman.
And that's what we broke down afterwards was Nick and I, we were talking and I said, yeah, had they done a two-parter where basically like he goes out with the kid or whatever. And meanwhile, you know, the mechanic is about to be raided or attacked because she's got this kid that's people right. got tracking fobs on it, you know, like have her be put into danger and then set up for part two is where they're out, you know, trying to get this other person or what have you, you know, like could spend a little bit more time, I guess, developing the, you know, cause the one character Peli, wasn't really satisfying until kind of like the end of the episode. Whereas the beginning, it kind of like was a little bit, didn't work as well. So, but you know, you can listen to all of this on Owen and Bruce. Nick and I break it down with Mike Bloom this week. So
he was there with us punch for punch. So
he came out punching like when you podcast or talk to Mike Bloom, it's like,
it's a ground running.
He's got like 15 ideas out in 2 minutes and you're like still repeating the same idea. Like, and see, you're like, how did you say that much stuff? Like, so no, it was great to have him aboard and, you know, just, again, just kind of,
I want to say though, before I see Nick's in Colorado for sure because he's drinking Coors.
Yeah, like not to get too much. Yeah, like this is the first time I've had Coors in probably 10 years. They had a good deal.
I think it's mandatory.
It's the banquet because you can't get banquet anywhere, you know. And so they had a case or a 30-pack for $15. I went, you know what? I'll get the banquet because I haven't had it in forever. So
I'm sorry. I just saw the Coors. I went up. Oh. Someone's in Colorado.
I'm in Colorado. I need to take a tour of down there in Morrison sometime to the brewery. One thing I wanted to say, and then we can move on from Mandalorian, though, Jack, but I wanted to say, because me and Matt had talked about this, is that, you know, this episode, like I said, is from the Searchers. I think that I agree with Matt and like how it should have gone, but I think, you know, the next episode could have been easily 310 to Yuma, and that the mercenary could have been, you know, him, whereas it's like, hey, like, I'm just letting you guys, you know, have me captive right now. You know, I'm going to save your life. I'm going to escape from you. You can chase me down. But either way, I'm going to show you that I'm smarter than you. You know, and I think that would have been an interesting episode. But whatever.
Yeah, and I think we both liked the female character.
We did, yeah.
And I was actually weirdly rooting for her at some point when I watched
it. I don't want to spoil anyone, but I think I don't want to say anything because I don't want to spoil anyone.
Okay. No more spoilers.
Yeah, I mean, I could say it, but that would be a spoiler, so I don't want to say anything.
All right, spoilers off. Or spoilers back off.
Go have a Coors for a second. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm still enjoying the show. I still like it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the first three episodes were really, if you put the first three episodes together, that is the pilot. Right. And then the most recent two episodes – really actually feels kind of like a classic 80s show. And the fact that it's very like canned and I mean, you could skip them and then jump into the next episode and, you know,
it wouldn't miss a beat. Yeah.
Right.
That's true. Yeah.
Which I think they'll probably set up for the end will be something kind of like that. But, one other thing, Jack, just to kind of keep you intrigued on the Mandalorian or what have you, one thing that we talked about on the show was that, you know, and Nick and I kind of agree on this, but you know, when you watch Clone Wars or Rebels, which were the other two precursors to Star Wars on TV, the first two seasons of both of those shows are very generalized, you know, trying to get cast the widest net as possible and are a bit more like clunky in that regard. Whereas as the show progressed, both shows got better with each season when the nuances of the show really got to percolate together. So I kind of at least anticipate that season two or three of The Mandalorian should.
They're drawing people in, and then once they get the people, they're going to open up the story.
I think they'll grow a lot of those things, you know, or let them.
I realize that they're trying to build a network. Obviously, you know, Disney Plus, a huge investment, and they're trying to get as many people as possible they have to get as many people as possible to watch. But to me, I go, if you just keep with the same, they're going to lose people. I just think if in today's television, it has to be a little edgy. There has to be something to it to keep people.
Yeah, I think it just depends on which people you're trying to keep.
Well, people that watch TV.
Sure, but also like, you know, depending on who your demographic is, though. So if your demographic
if you're looking for young kids, then yeah, then it's the perfect.
Right. So you're always going to have like the fans or the people over 40 that are like, yeah, I like Star Wars. I'm going to watch this show. It's really like about building that next gen aspect. And the fact that my you know, sister is watching it with her kid, you know, and she knows little about Star Wars, but she can walk into the show. She doesn't have to get all the references. You know, the references that they give you are very light. They're not as deep as what the they could go. So, you know, I think that it does have a broad kind of palette that's working with there.
I have no problem with shows being the whole family could watch, because I know there's not many anymore out there. Or
right. No, that's just my take on what their goal is, you know, as far as like this season. So
I know the last show my whole family watched together was an older show, was Alias Smith and Jones. It was a show I watched as a kid, and I said we had the Western Channel. I said, hey, I used to watch this as a kid. And we all watched the pilot, and every day they would watch. We'd watch it together. They loved it until the lead character commits suicide and they bring in the other guy. And
oh man.
So it's like, Pete Duell. I want to say Pete Best, but that's the Beatles. Pete Duell, he commits suicide, and then they bring in another, Smith, which is it doesn't even look like him. It's the guy it's the narrator from the original. So it's kind of like, but it's a Western that's done campy enough that the whole family could watch it. But I think they should bring it back. Since they're bringing back shows, bring it back and make it edgier, make it more of a adult type show.
That's what I thought with Mandalorian was, and I realized that I was wrong, you know, that, I wanted it to be an adult show. Yeah, I wanted it to be a Western, like very gritty, very not violent, but just that. And then with the introduction of Baby Yoda, it's like Matt was saying, it's trying to bring in a wider. Right. So because if it would have been a bounty hunter show, you would only captured like that 25 to 60, you know, age demographic. Right. But with Baby Yoda, it's like Matt has said, like, you know, his daughter goes, oh, Baby Yoda. You know, and like it's like it brings in kids.
It's me too. I say the same thing. I mean,
yeah.
Well, you take care. You're a papa, so you know.
So it's Baby Yoda.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I mean, going back to Agent Smith, have you ever seen it, Nick?
No, as when you said the title, I was like, I don't know that one.
Yeah. It's Butch Cassidy and the Sundance. It's basically what Butch Cassidy and Sundance. It's Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid.
Mm.
If you know how they talk about how they would want to go straight, you know, well, this is that's where they take. One guy is Butch Cassidy. He's always thinking. The other guy is Sundance Kid because he's quick on the draw. I think you would like it. I think it's on Netflix or
Hulu,
one of the two. And it's a 70s Western. You know, it's early 70s, but no, it's not that one.
Oh. I mean, something went straight. I just was curious.
I'm sorry. Well, they went
honest work.
They want to go be honest, but they have to earn it.
Mm-hmm.
No more gigolo wife style.
A lot of people don't know that they're trying to go straight or honest. And
I see.
It is Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid. That's maybe why I liked it at the time. So
yeah, I could see that. I mean, I still like. I mean, Butch Cassidy, I mean, it's my favorite just because I like the way it's shot. I like the humor in it. I like the action. I like everything about it. It's great.
Bum, 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 bum.
I'm waiting for that moment in The Mandalorian where he's like, who are those guys?
You exactly. Know,
like,
yeah.
You know, it's like, it's coming.
Profavor. Profavor.
Yeah. So, you guys... Before we get to a movie that both of you guys saw, I have not seen, but you guys can give your review. Let's take a quick moment for a commercial break. Pop open a Coors. Or some other better beer that, you know.
Oh, I could definitely feel the listeners cringe when the next drinking Coors, like, oh.
Someone drinks it because they're still in business.
I am drinking.
Well, I mean, like Coors Light is everywhere, but that's what I mean. Like just the fact that it's Coors Banquet, you never see Coors Banquet.
Oh, Coors Banquet. Yeah, that's, you know.
My grandfather used to drink Coors or Olympia, any of those cheap, crappy beers.
Billy beer.
I'm drinking the opposite of that. I'm drinking a Young's Double Chocolate Stout.
Oh, wow.
My grandfather drank everything and anything, so he was just a bit of an alcoholic. So,
yeah,
well, not a bit of an alcoholic, he was.
When I was in China, it made me happy for like a couple of days that like everything I drank had the pull tabs, and I was like, oh my god, you know, blast from the past.
There's an episode of Emergency that always I never forget it because the guy's choking. He puts the pull tab into the drink. Engine 51 gets there and he goes, oh, he's choking. I go, because I think everyone always did that. Always put,
yeah. You
know, well, I had a Coke, you know, back then it was Coke. You just throw the tab because we were taught not to litter. That was back when they were really pushing the littering. You know, they had the Indian guy going around.
Oh, they did.
Right. Yeah.
Crying because, you know, I remember San Diego was 29% cleaner because I was taking the pull tabs and putting them in the thing. But after that episode, I went,
not doing that.
Screw it, San Diego. You're 20% cleaner now.
People don't give a shit about keeping America beautiful. So rape America beautiful.
You have those pull tabs. It's like,
yeah. No, I'm talking about just like people with cigarettes. Like I always see people like just dumping them out. And I'm just like, come on.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Come on, Pete. It's so annoying. I get more road rage when I see the car in front of me like shove something out their window, you know, and it's always like a cigarette or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm just like, ah, you heathens.
And like a truck that's just like just blowing out soot. That always drives me nuts too. It's like, dude, like
I was following a truck.
Get a new muffler or change your oil. What the hell?
It was a Dodge Ram truck and it had all these go green stickers on the back of it. And I'm like going, all right, this guy's just being a dick. Because it was like the whole thing, like you said, the smoke, and he's got this huge fucking, you know,
billowing
environment killer machine. And I'm like going, like this, it was all like, go, there's like tons of bumper stickers on the bed of the truck. And I'm like going, or, you know, whatever the door is called. I can't remember the drunk blank on it.
Tailgate.
I'm like, tailgate. Yeah. I'm like going, Come on, no way, no way. It's just this guy's just being a dick. He's trying to piss people off because I go, there's no way. I go, you had some guy in a Prius trying to run him off the road. It was ugly. But no, I was like going, no, you're just being a dick. You're just being a cocksucker.
We need to bring it back to Deadwood.
Yeah, there you go.
It was. I mean, it was a neat menu. So everyone out there, I sent Jack a picture of the gym's menu, and it was all named, all the food was named after characters from the show.
Right.
And the one thing I took it, but just because of the one particular meal on the menu was Mr. Wu's pork ribs.
And yeah, I said no. I said no chance.
definitely not eating that. Yeah.
They could be the best thing in the world, and I wouldn't eat them because the whole time I'm thinking I'm eating human.
Yeah, he's like, or I'm eating pig that's been eating human.
Yeah. Right.
By the way, I'm just curious. Like, what was Trixie's dish?
I don't remember if Trixie. I think it was a drink. Like, she probably.
Okay, well, that would make sense.
She had a cocktail, I think, but
she would have a cocktail.
Yeah.
Sorry, I meant to type that.
you forgot to put in the chat, huh, man?
Yeah, I forgot to put that in the chat.
Yeah, so I've got Prospector's Prime Rib, Mr. Wu's Pork Ribs, Wild Bill's Walleye, Calamity Jane's Half Chicken, Buffalo.
I don't know if I'd want Calamity Jane's stuff either because she was always dirty, throwing up on herself, pissing herself, crapping herself.
That's why it's a half chicken.
Yeah. I think I shit myself. That's okay.
I apologize.
And then the thing is like you see her like that same actress. She was what was she in?
She's in Lost. She's in Life. She's in everything.
Yeah, there was another show I think on HBO that I'd seen her on, and I was like, oh my god, like I can't believe that's the same actress.
Robin Witchett. She was in Leftovers, I think, wasn't she?
That was it. That was Leftovers. Yeah.
Oh. I think she was in Leftovers. I want to say Leftovers. She's in a lot of stuff. Like I said, she was in Lost.
So I don't remember her in Lost, but
that was the episode where everyone thought that she was a guy. But she was really a guy, but it was I think that was the theory back then. I'm not there yet, but she plays Juliet's sister, I think.
Because
Juliet's trying to find a cure for cancer or something like that.
Season 3.
Because that's why Juliet goes to the island.
Yeah.
I believe so. I could be wrong, but I'm not there in the rewatch yet, but yesterday we discussed for 2 hours. We discussed the other 48 hours and Collision. It was a lot about Anna Lucia. Was she misunderstood? Was she a killer? Was she a villain? Was she a hero? And it was a interesting conversation, I thought.
I think I just need to bite the bullet because I always, whenever I do a Lost rewatch, I start at the beginning and I never finish it. So I just need to bite the bullet and just start with season 3 and just go from there. It's like, because I always just end up not being able to finish it.
Well, this one I have to, so.
Yeah.
It's the easiest way to finish a rewatch.
But. I mean, I'm right there with you, Nick. Like, I think season 3 as well as 4. 4 was probably like the writer's strike and even though it was like such a condensed season, I remember really enjoying it. And then season 5, like I love all of the Dharma stuff that happens in that season and all of the time travel.
Well, so. Not all of it. Yeah. Rosen Bernard should have worked for Dharma.
Okay. Aside from other podcasters' petty grievances.
They were right. They were right there. Everyone else did.
Yeah. I mean, I think my frustration with season 5 was just that you had the perfect opportunity to explain what Dharma was and they still didn't really, really do it. I mean, they did. And that it was just like a company that wanted to live on the island, you know, and have an experiment, but it's like, but I wanted more. Like, cause like they made such a big deal about it, all the symbols and all the, you know, the hatches and everything. You're like, oh, like what is this thing? And they don't really,
but it was never about Dharma and it was never about these
one guy killed them all. So, right. So,
yeah.
I agree what you're saying. I mean, there's all of these things about Dharma that like I really like and I wanted to know more about, but just living in that environment, I really enjoyed. So, but yeah, I mean, I always wanted more with Alvar Hanzo. I wanted more like how they got there. I wanted to see those scientists, you know, mm-hmm. like I wanted all of that good stuff. So, So I hear you. So, but I like
a lot of people did.
But I like where it goes in season 5, though.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So, the incident and all of that good stuff. So
there was a incident.
Yeah. No, I've said this many times. My only issue with the show is season 6, and that's it. I mean, I like the ending. I'm not one of the people that says like, the ending, they blew it. And like, no, I like the ending of Lost. Mm-hmm. I just didn't like season 6. I liked the episodes.
Yeah.
I just didn't like what they did with it. I felt that Man in Black and Jacob should have been introduced way before, because it kind of negates, in my opinion, season 6 negates a lot of 1 through 5 and like their struggle. Cause they kind of sum it up. It was like, oh, you were here because your lives are miserable and wouldn't have been good without me. And you're kind of like, oh, okay.
I guess if you take Jacob as truth.
Yeah.
So, because I think there's a little bit of flaws in both of them. Mm-hmm. So.
And I never understood why Locke died. You know, like, because
he was an idiot.
I know that. No, not actually Locke dying. As in, like,
okay, I'm sorry.
Once, you know, what's the big deal about Man in Black leaving the island? All you ever wanted to do was leave. Just let him go.
I get it. I've said it all the time. He's the
Grinch of Lost Island. Like, I don't want to hang out with my brother and my mom anymore. This is fucking boring.
Come on, man. Jeez.
It's the Star Trek 5 thing. You know, he's been imprisoned on that island for God knows how long. Just let him go.
He just wanted to experience life. Oh, we got to kill him because that's just wrong. And Jacob was a tool. Let's face it, he was.
He was a bit of a brick.
Yeah. He was a loser.
I'm just saying he's not perfect. I wasn't going to call him a prick, but
he's a prick. You could make an argument that he's the worst person on Lost. How many people did he? How many people did he bring to the island that died?
Okay, I'm just thinking about some other people because like. What about what about Sawyer's dad? That guy.
Yeah. Sawyer's dad, terrible guy, but you know,
I'd still put him higher than Jacob.
How many lives did he affect opposed to Jacob who brought how many people died on 815 just to get the few candidates to the island?
Sawyer's dad was a grifter. You could see the rippling effects of like what he was doing, you know, like breaking up families. Like,
I get it, but you know that happens in life. So, right. You know, what was going to happen was going to happen anyway. They were going to break up anyway, so he just sped the process along.
Yeah, divorcee children out there everywhere. Listen to what Jack says.
Stealing kidneys.
It's going to happen. So you just speed it up.
Human trafficker. Listen right here. Jack is a sympathizer. He is okay with you body harvesting people for organs. So.
Where does it say that I was happy with that? I mean, he took his son's organ, right?
Just putting words in your mouth, Jack.
Okay, that's fun. I don't care. Anyway, speaking of poop, I wanted to talk about something that has happened to me. I've been watching. I've been watching my grandkids.
Really shitty.
And Chris isn't here. Chris isn't here, but you know he's experienced the poop explosions. And Matt, you've had. I mean, I don't know, Nick, if your nephew, niece, have you changed their poop explosion diapers?
No, I refuse to do code brown.
And just to clarify, like, I have not had pooper explosions, but my children have.
I bet at some point you had pooper explosions.
Yeah, you've had it. You've had it. You just don't remember. You wake up and go, the hell's all over me? Oh, I had a poop explosion.
Right. So, I'm like, oh, this is just 40 people.
So... Last week, I'm watching my grandkid, and I couldn't talk about it last week because we didn't record, but I'm sitting at my granddaughter, and I have my grandson, 16-month-old, 3-month-old, and I go, what the hell, dude? You stink. So I go, oh, my God, he's got poop just from one end to the other, all over his clothes, all over everything. So I'm using 1,000 wipes to try to clean him up because it's a mess. It's a poop explosion. The cat comes down, looks at me, and starts going, oh.
Yeah.
I go, don't you fucking throw up. Don't you fucking throw up. Throws up. So after I got the poop explosion, I got to clean up the cat throw up because the cat throws up in front of me. I go, really? Whole fucking house? You had to come throw up right in front of me? You dick. So now I'm pissed at the cat. And of course, my grandson's looking at me like, why am I a dick, Grandpa? Why am I a dick, Papa? No, not you. He can't talk, but that's what he was thinking. So a couple days later, I'm sitting there, I'm feeding him, and I go, and I, he stinks. I mean, he makes – he when you when he poops, you know, he I'm feeding him, and he's like – you just hear it rumbling out of him. And hopefully people are eating while they're listening to this too, because it makes it makes for the food to go bad a bit.
Is there corn?
No corn, because it's just formula. Because corn, okay. Corn we've talked about before, corn, for whatever reason, no matter how you chew it up, it comes out as corn. I mean, it's like a magic trick. I want to know how it's done, because I chew up my corn, I go, and it's still float. I go, how the hell is that corn still intact? I know I chewed it up. So it must go back together. The
shells. Yeah. But...
anyway, so I'm sitting there, and I go, dude, you stink. And he's just smiling at me as I'm feeding. I go, dude, you stink. Because he really did stink. I go, no, really, dude, you stink. I go, wait, why are my pants? I'm wearing sweatpants. I go, why are my pants wet? I go, oh, it's on my hand. I go, why is it on my hand? I go, it's all over my leg. It's on my leg. It's all over him. It's on the couch. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, oh God. I go, it just was everywhere. I'm like going, and just, like, so I put him on the little poop mat we had, and I'm trying to clean him up. And he just thinks it's the funniest thing in the world. But I'm like going, I go, I got to go wash my hands first. So I'm washing my hands and getting all the poop out of the, you know, it's everywhere. And those, it just was like, oh my. And so my daughter goes, what are you doing? I go, what do you mean? What am I doing? What do you mean? What am I doing? I go, I'm feeding him, change his diaper. I go, it's his poop. The only thing I can think of is maybe the way I was holding him. I was putting pressure on the diaper at an angle. And maybe it was when he was pooping, it had nowhere to go because of the angle I had him. So it was squeezing up. It was shooting up because it had nowhere, you know, it's filling up and it's
back into the left.
So, so now I put him at a different angle. So I'm not putting any pressure on the diaper. So maybe it was me, but yeah, 2 days in a row of poop explosions. And it's like, oh my God, I didn't sign up for this. I did not sign up for this.
Now, what if you wait like 25, 30 years, you know, when you're old and senile and you just like, fling your own poo at your grandchild, and like, what you thought it was hilarious 30 years ago.
Here, change my diaper, kid. Yeah,
now, Jack, you're an open-minded guy, and this is something that
I think that's what people think. Yeah,
yeah. Everyone that I've talked to that knows you, they're like, Jack. How would I describe him? Open-minded.
Mm-hmm. There's a river flowing.
Yeah, sure.
And I'm flowing with that river.
So within that river, and now that you have grandchildren to take care of during the day, you have clearly a lot of this. This is something that you asked me about for quite some time on a certain podcast. Would you let your grandchildren create art with poop?
Well, not being to see the difference. See, the difference here is I'm not an artist. So I'm not an artist where it's like, okay, like the guy that you see the one where the guy did the banana, taped the banana, and that was supposedly art. Artists have that. You're supposed to have, aren't you supposed to have freedom to create, right? Where I might think that, okay, that's obscene. No, that was done by an artist, so it's okay, right? I'm saying you're as an artist and a professor who teaches art, you should allow people to do whatever they want because that's art. I'm not an artist. I think it's gross. So I can say, hey, no, you're not using the poop to make our project of Abe Lincoln. No, I'm sorry. I can't do that. But as an art, if I was an artist and I taught art, I'd be like, yes, use your artist, whatever comes to you as an artist, you use that. So sorry, Matt, you lose on that one because you're an artist. You're a repressive artist because you say, no, you have to do it my way.
Well, I'm just going to call bullshit on this because I think this is a classic case of when the poo is on the other foot.
When the poo is on the other hand.
And then we really know who's willing to deal with a lot of shit and who's not.
Well, I deal with the shit. I don't run away for it.
That would
I think we could repeat that one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Someone in the chat wrote, and it wasn't me or Matt, wrote, painting of Trump, dirty diaper smeared across his face, $1 million.
There's probably some people that would be willing to pay that. Hey, speaking of Trump, did you realize that our president is like in the middle of an impeachment scandal? Did you guys know about this?
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
You guys, I'm on social network, but I haven't seen anything about it.
Okay. So. All right. I just was checking because I was like, holy shit, who knew?
You know, I got to be honest with you. I didn't really pay attention to the last one that happened. Right. So it's like I got things to do. And yeah. I think the only one I ever paid attention to was the Nixon one because I really didn't have a fucking choice because it was on every fucking network.
Steve, that's the problem here is that we just need to force people to watch what the shit that's going on.
So I don't really have time because I got poop to clean. My grandkids don't want to watch it.
Yeah.
And I got Disney Plus. I can just put on a Disney movie.
Sure.
I'm watching the Mary Tyler Moore Show, which I'm rifling through. I'm in season 3.
Oh yeah.
And Mary Tyler Moore Show was ahead of its time. You know, it's about a single woman who doesn't need a man. Mm-hmm. But there are problems with this show.
Yeah.
I've noticed that Rhoda and Mary are always complaining about their weight, that they're always on a diet. They're always this.
Did you notice? Okay. So, when I was watching Mary Tyler Moore, I just jumped in. Like I was just like, nah, I'm not messing with the pilot. I'm just going to jump in. So I jumped into season 3. I was like, holy shit. She is going through some anorexic shit right now.
Yeah. She's extremely
like, I'm serious. Like listeners, just watch episode 1 from season 3, which is a great episode because it deals with the pay difference between men and women.
Oh yeah,
it's really funny. It's hilarious. Some really hilarious stuff. You know, dealing with something that's like socially going on still to this day and relevant.
Oh, it's definitely ahead of its time. I mean, it does, but the
but Mary is extremely anorexic, and I was like,
but there's an episode they have on her where one of the it's her best friends, they're married couple, and she was an actress on Alice. She was one of the waitresses on Alice, and the kid that was on the Callis's kid just passed. Philip McKeon just passed away, 55, long illness. I don't know what happened to him, but anyway, but she's really skinny. Rhoda's skinny, but they're always talking about I got a diet, I put on weight. So as a child, I mean, people who are my age or who grew up watching Mary Tyler Moore Show as a female, did that mess with your brain? I mean, I don't know. You know,
it totally messed with my brain. No,
if you're watching this and you see actresses that are clearly not overweight complaining about being overweight, how does that affect you if you're a teenager where your body is how does that affect you?
You look at society through the entire 20th century. Like you look at women in the 50s. Like I look at pictures of my grandmother, you know, when she's in her 20s, if she was probably 5'3", I mean, I bet she weighs 90 pounds. I mean, she's just little. I mean, you know, and like the stuff that they wear with those pointy bras and like the wings that got emphasized are so strange to us compared to today. But you see that like throughout the decades, like how women were more comfortable with their bodies for sure. But yeah, I think it's just because like the women were the previous decade, I don't know, because of societal norms or whatever, they are smaller. So if it's normal to be 90 pounds in the 1950s, but all of a sudden you're 100 pounds in the 60s, like, oh my God, I'm fat. And you're like, and now you're like, are you serious?
Yeah.
Are you serious with this shit? You're not fat at all. But
yeah, it is a bit like, I mean, my wife and I were watching an episode too, and she noticed it right away. And it is a bit disturbing. You're like, oh man, like you're going through some stuff here. And I just wish that you were comfortable with your own body.
She was a diabetic. So I don't know if that had anything to do with it. I mean, I don't know. I mean, but what I'm talking about is the emphasis was always we're dieting. And Valerie Harper and Mary Tyler Moore, we're not heavy. That's what I'm trying to say is a groundbreaking show. I'm not picking. I love watching it. It's funny. It's still today. It's still funny. I mean, some of the jokes you'd have to know what's going on because
they are the things of the time. Yeah.
But I'm like going, how did this affect young girls growing up when they see Mary Tyler Moore, who's very popular, very, very pretty, very, and she's going, I'm 120 pounds now. And you're like going,
right.
Well, you're like 5'9", 5'8". You should be 120. And she's like, I need a diet. And, you know, and Rhoda's always on a diet. And they're always complaining. You're like, going, well, Rhoda, you're not heavy. Right? So I just wonder if, you know, a show that was groundbreaking still had issues.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Back then.
That's everything. I mean, like, because you look at Cheers.
Yeah.
You know, like, they talk about that now, like Ted Danson's character being sexist and misogynistic and all that. And, you know, and even Friends, like, people are criticizing Friends now. And that show's only been over for 15 years about how there's a lot of fat shaming and things in that show. And you're like,
well, with Monica,
I remember the fat shaming back then and just being like, this is kind of a little weird. And then also the fact that it's very white, you know. It's not until like the later seasons where
Ross
they try to introduce some ethnicity, but I mean it's kind of, well, you guys are shooting for one season out of 10. like it's not very thorough as far as like being ethnically diverse in any way.
But I'm talking about a show, but Friends really groundbreaking. Was it like a show that people are, oh, this is a groundbreaking show? I mean,
I have the same opinion of it as like I do Lady Bird, the movie that came out a couple years ago. Like, it got, you know, critically acclaimed and all this. Like, Friends took a very good formula that's been established and executed it well. And that's how I think of Lady Bird. Like, Lady Bird is a coming of age story of a teenage girl story movie. And it's a very good story and it's a very well-executed story. But is it original? No. And that's what I think of Friends. I mean, Friends is just a really well-executed sitcom. But that's my opinion.
But again, I love Mary Tyler Moore show. I was a big, huge fan of Mary Tyler Moore. But I never really paid attention to it before. I'm like going, God, every episode is about weight. And like you said, season 3, she is really, really skinny. So I don't know. And again, I'm not criticizing, you know, it's just things you notice. Like when I was rewatching Cheers, I go, man, this show towards Rebecca is very sexist. I even posted on our Facebook page, maybe Patreon. I said, and people said, no. They just kind of blew it off. Said, no, it was still funny. And I'm like going, yeah, but could you have a show today where the lead actress is basically sexually harassed over and over again, not just by Sam, by everybody.
There's so many. I mean, you couldn't have the Honeymooners today. You couldn't. There's so many shows that you couldn't.
No, it's true. One of these times.
I was recently, because I've been rewatching 30 Rock. That's kind of been my wife and I, like, we will throw on an episode here or there. So not like a religious rewatch, but rewatching the show. And it's in the last season, they do one of their live episodes. And I had never seen this one. So funny. They make fun of the Honeymooners so good. And like how many times like they're like, I'm gonna physically just punch you in the face. You know, like how often like they just like make that a comedic joke and they just riff on that so hard. So
to Ralph Cranman's credit, he never did it though. he never did it.
Yeah, he was a fan of psychological scarring.
Sure, I was going to say, like, well, okay. The verbal abuse is still right up there with the...
One of these times, Alice! But, you know, I think Alice would have taken him out.
Probably.
She didn't back down to Ralph.
Anybody slightly attracted to Alice?
That started the whole thing where you have the attractive wife and the unattractive husband.
Yeah, they did that with King of Queens.
King of Queens. I mean, you look through all of TV. It was always, well, you look at like the movie Christmas Story.
Yeah.
He's like, was it Gavin? What's his name? What's the actor?
You're saying that the Christmas Story, like the wife is like super hot.
Well, she's super young and super, she's more attractive than the guy. I mean, the guy is in his time, and you know, in his prime, he was a good-looking guy. He's like 7 years old.
She was trying to castrate the man.
I think,
to be fair, he was old and, you know.
By the way, the parents on Christmas Day is probably one of my favorite parts of the whole movie. Mm-hmm. The parents on Christmas Day. Like, the dad, he's so tired. Like, he's just like, whatever. Let's just get this shit over with. Like, he's just, like, out of it. I just love the way he plays that.
My wife likes to look at old videos, and she goes, yeah, you ever notice that dad's sleeping? See, I'm sleeping because I'm just... Because I dressed up as Santa Claus, and I would come bring, and I'd eat the damn cookies, and Cindy's filming it going, I go, and the kids, we'd film it. You know, we didn't have a fireplace a couple of times, so I came through the front door, and then we kind of edited the fireplace when we finally got one. But, you know, I'd be up all night long putting those damn toys together, and sure enough, I am just sleeping on the couch. I'm exhausted. We still had like three houses to go to back then. But anyway, going back to Mary Tyler Moore. Funny show. I love it. I just have just noticed the – I don't know why. You watch an older show and you start going, that probably wouldn't be a good joke nowadays. You know, because Lou is very sexist, very – but he's lovable Mr. Grant. So you
– Yeah.
And he's very honest. He goes, yeah. When he talks about the pay difference, he goes – well, because he had a family, he's a man.
Right. I know.
She's like, but did I do the job better? Oh yeah, you're much better than him.
She storms out of the office and then she comes back with a better reason it's great. Yeah. I mean, it's a fun episode for sure.
I think I can't. The only show I can always think of that shows the partners being equal, with both having good jobs and not one being stupid, the other one being smart, is the Cosby Show.
I was going to say the Cosby Show. Yeah, yeah. I was like, do we talk about the Cosby Show?
The Cosby Show is good. It's a good show, and it still holds up. I mean, but like saying, like, you know, he's a doctor, she's a lawyer. They're both you know, equal partners in the relationship, and they raise great kids. I mean, so like it's a well rounded show. I mean, ahead of its time for sure. That's because Jack said something about watching a show with, you know, his family when he was growing up. The only shows I remember watching, Simon and Simon, Cosby Show, Wings, and Cheers, are the shows I remember watching with my parents growing up.
Yeah.
There's another one too. I can't think of Chase and something, maybe, or I can't remember which one, but there's another one.
Paper Chase?
Maybe. But I don't know. It's something.
It was a lawyer show.
It was a long time ago. Maybe. I don't know.
So okay, I teased this all the way back at a commercial, which was like about 30 minutes ago. You guys saw the movie. I did not. Yeah. Why don't you guys talk about that movie?
You go ahead, Jack.
Well, I got to start by saying that went to Alamo Draft House, which is I preach it all the time. I keep telling Jay, you got to go there, Jay. He gets mad because he took me there for my first minute. I took you the first time we went there. Anyway, so I get my double rum and coke, and I get my soft. They make a great soft pretzel with cheese. I mean, you dip in the cheese; it's so great. It was really warm in there, and I had my sweatshirt on, and we got the six cheese sandwich. Cindy and I split it because she gets her fried pickles. She didn't get a movie pickle like Nick, but she gets fried pickles. So we're eating. So by the time the movie comes on, I'm like, they have this recliner, but in the Alamo Draft House, you can't make noise. So I sneezed when the movie started. Literally everyone in the theater turned around and looked at me. I'm like, so the next time I got another, you know, because a sneeze, you usually sneeze twice. It's and I'm like, I'm holding everything in my throat, trying to, you know, not make noise.
I'm going to ask you to leave. Your allergies are affecting the other.
Your involuntary bodily functions.
Everyone put up their white paper. Get rid of the guy in seat two, row three. But then I hadn't raised my seat up yet because I kind of dozed off during the previews because I was. I was full. I was so snuggly warm, and I was comfortable.
Pretzels, lots of cheese. I get you
putting together toys.
So I said, "Oh, I gotta raise my seat." And every time I push the button, it goes, and everyone would just look at the guy next to me. He's like, he's looking at me like, "You dick." And I'm like going,
"How dare you get comfortable?"
And then also, it must have been something with the motor or something because it really wasn't moving very. Because usually it goes. a few seconds, it's where you want it. But I go, I'm not going. My wife's looking at me like, you're making noise. Stop, stop. So basically, I went through the movie. I sacrificed, like, I'd wait for a loud scene, I'd push it. So most of the movie, my seat wasn't where I wanted. But anyway, I don't know how to describe this movie without, I don't want to spoil anyone.
Hmm. Well, if you guys want to talk about it, I will let you guys talk about it. Spoiler free. Like, you let the spoilers fly. Like, just let it.
No, I don't want to. It's not a movie you want to spoil anyone. I'll ask Nick. Did you figure out who it was?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to take off my headphones because I haven't seen this. Because this is a Rian Johnson movie, you know. I'm just fucking with Nick. No. Also, I'm going to go get another beer. But you guys talk. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'll set up the my situation as well. I go to – we don't have one – Denver has an Alamo Draft House, but not Fort Collins. And, I didn't feel like popcorn. I was like, I'm going to get a movie pickle. But I only took one bite of it because it was so strong. And I actually felt bad too, kind of like similar to you. Like, I sat down in the nice leather chair and I put my feet up, had the little table there in front of me. I opened it up, and it was one of those that – I don't know how – but it was just the overwhelming smell of pickle, you know? And it was so strong. If you took a bite, you're like, almost where you get tears out of your eyes, it's so strong. And I was like, I can't eat this. So I just let it sit there in front of me the entire movie. And every now and then you'll get those whiff of pickle. And you're just like, I know that everyone else around me is like, that goddamn guy with that pickle. Like, fuck, who gets a pickle?
Eat the fucking pickle.
Eat the pickle. I'm tired of smelling that fucking shit.
Because that was it was Texas where someone posted something where they had movie pickles, right, on our Facebook page.
Well, I had brought it up years ago.
I know, that you,
that I got a movie pickle, and you're like, "What's a movie pickle? What's a movie?" You know, and then
who goes to a movie and gets a pickle?
Yeah, and I guess it's just popular in the South, you know, and I guess because Colorado is not the South, but there's a lot of Texas people that live here, so maybe that's gotten.
But you had that strong pickle smell.
And I know people smelled it and probably were like, fuck.
You're ruining my movie experience with this pickle smell.
All I'm smelling is pickle. Because like the guy to the left of me got a large tub of popcorn and didn't eat one bite of popcorn.
Because it smelled like, it tasted like pickle.
And that's what I felt bad. I felt that's what it was. It's like, I can't eat with that fucking pickle.
Can you put your pickles? Can you put it in your pants or something? You know,
I'm really sorry that I missed this conversation because it clearly was not about the movie and just about a pickle.
It's all about the movie pickle.
It's movie pickle. Yeah,
we're leading into the movie. Yeah,
leading into the movie. It's
go ahead.
We're not going to spoil you on the movie.
No.
What?
We're not going to spoil you.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm here. I'm listening all ears. Now I'm
sad. I saw it got a 98% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, I think it's a bit high. Yeah, I gave it a B+, like maybe just a solid B. You know.
Yeah, I said solid B. It was a good movie.
Yeah.
But as far as a whodunit,
it's not a whodunit. That's the thing.
Yeah,
they advertise it as a whodunit, but it's not a whodunit.
No, because I don't want to spoil people. Well, it's just I don't want to spoil people who haven't seen it because people are going in there. Because I was thinking, okay, this is going to be fun because I'm going to be able to figure out who it is. It's like going to go anyway. But it was a fun movie. It had interesting characters. It had some very funny scenes. The girl that can't tell the truth because if she doesn't tell the truth, she throws up.
Right.
I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was well done. A great cast. Mm-hmm. I would say, yeah, go see it.
Yeah.
But don't if you're sitting next to a guy with a pickle.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it deserved its 98% rating. You know, because like to me, the best two movies I've seen this fall/early winter are Jojo Rabbit and Parasite. Those are the two that I would say like, oh, those are good films. This one is like, oh yeah, it's good. Go watch it if you have time. But I'm not gonna be like, dude, you have to go see this. You know, like it's,
yeah, because it was my pick because we were gonna go see Mr. Rogers. Or the Mr. Rogers movie, but JP said, "Nah, I didn't like it. It was terrible."
You listen to JP. I mean, he also hates Big Bird and Carol Spiner, who died.
What?
So. I'm just joking.
I didn't see that.
how can you hate Big Bird? Like
my daughter had when she was younger, she had such a crush. We used to say, "Oh, you're marrying Big Bird." She always had this Big Bird she carried around with her. So anyway, and now I'm watching her daughter, who's about the same age when she was watching. Anyway, but yeah, it's a good movie. I would recommend. Yeah, go see it. It's fun. It's entertaining. It's got funny parts in it.
Are there any Muppets?
No Muppets.
Okay.
No Muppets. But it has an all-star cast. I mean,
it does have an all-star cast. Yeah.
Jamie Lee Curtis, Don Johnson, Chris Evans, other people you've seen before that I don't know their names off the top of my head.
I think I'm at other people you've seen before, like
Christopher Plummer's in it.
I think that should be a tagline for any cast that like a movie's trying to advertise. Other people you've seen before, like
Daniel Craig's in it. My wife did say he does a great he had a southern accent. He goes, "Isn't he British?" I go, "He is." I go, "But he has a great."
You know, the southern accent is the easiest one for British people to do.
Is it?
I've heard that.
The thing is,
so take the Academy Award away from him. Thanks,
man. I'm just saying that it's not like a hard stretch for them to do Southern accents. It's like us doing Cockney. You know, it's like it's so easy to do Cockney.
Well, it's because the Southern accent is the closest thing to the old British accent.
Boom.
But the thing is about actors and a way a lot of people perceive the Southern accent is that to a lot of people, there's only two Southern accents. And it drives Southerners nuts because you'll have two different actors in the same film doing the two different accents because of their status in the film. So you'll have the redneck that's going to be like, "What you doing around here?" You know, or like, you know, that's, you know, the ignorant redneck guy.
She's like, "Hey, you got some pretty teeth there, boy."
Yeah.
By the way, for the listeners at home, when Nick does this accent, he also gets the crazy eye. Like it's full.
He gets into character.
He does. It's like the crazy eye was like, there.
Jack. It's like he's back in Tennessee.
Definitely channeling some people he knew.
Or you had the Daniel Craig accent from this movie, which is the educated Southerner that's like, "Now if I go down here, if you give me the, you know," that's what it is. Like you have the two, that's it. You have the two, those two accents.
Well, one of the act, I won't say the character, but he says, "Look, Foghorn."
Yeah, exactly.
He's doing Foghorn.
That's what he's doing. Foghorn. Yeah. And that's what it is. It's like, there's definitely a game afoot here. You know, and that's but in movies you'll have the two accents side by side. You can't do the both. Like it's one or the other.
The guy that's in the streams. Right. The guy that's in Atlanta who coined Florida Man is in it. I don't know his name, but he's fantastic. Okay. He's in the movie.
You've seen him before in many other things that you'll recognize.
Well, you'll recognize him right away.
What film?
If you've seen Atlanta.
I have not seen Atlanta, so that's why.
What?
Are you talking about Donald Glover?
No, it's not Donald Glover. Okay. It's the guy that coins Florida Man.
Okay.
Have you seen Atlanta, Matt?
No, I don't. What channel is this Atlanta on?
No. You two have never seen it. Atlanta?
Atlanta is a show.
Right. No, I know. Like what? Where can I
see? Oh, I see. Yeah.
Is it like TNT or?
No.
I think it's TNT or WTBS or?
It's not like it's on Hulu.
Oh, FX, I think.
I think it is FX, yeah.
Maybe it is.
You guys have not seen Atlanta?
No.
I am cut off from all cable, so if this is not
on, so am I. You just have to figure out a way to watch it. I think it's on Hulu or Netflix.
Okay, I'm going to search it right now. I'm doing it.
It's hilarious. It's great. Don Glover's in it.
The fuck is the T at?
I can't believe I'm talking to two people.
It's on there. Okay, I'm adding this to my stuff.
Hilarious. It's not only hilarious, it's a dramedy, I guess you'd call it.
I've wanted to watch the show, so it's not for without.
Anyway, the character in Atlanta who plays kind of a drug induced character, he's in this movie where he's not drug induced. He's the detective.
Oh, that guy. Okay.
Yeah. And not the guy that's into the whole, he's a fan of the writer.
The other guy, yeah.
Which is funny, too. I mean, it's got some fun. Again, I say go see it. You'll enjoy it. But the whodunit part is really like kind of, okay, all right.
All right, so I may not have seen a movie as good as that, but HBO recently had the movie Shazam, and I was like, oh, I've never seen Shazam. You know, it's like a superhero movie.
I used to watch the show on Saturday mornings.
Shazam.
Yeah, it was Shazam.
Shazam. So
they had ISIS and Shazam.
The terrorist organization,
or the god?
Well, Almighty ISIS, and she. And then he Shazam, he would, it was Billy, whatever his name is. And he traveled with a guy in a Winnebago. So I don't know what was going on there.
Huh.
I don't know if he'd go Shazam.
Well, it's a little different than that. But
didn't Gomer Pyle used to go Shazam?
He did.
I think he did. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, okay. Gomer Pyle, did he have the rich Southern accent or the redneck Southern accent?
Gomer was just Gomer.
He had the Hoosier accent.
Yeah.
It wasn't even like, you know, Indiana is a southern state, even
golly.
Though.
Golly!
You know,
really?
Indiana's
a southern state?
South of Indianapolis.
No, I'm telling you, Indiana is the most southern northern state. So just watch the way they vote.
Shazam!
Exactly. So anyway, I enjoyed the movie. You know, I like all the references to the other DC properties that they make in the movie. So it was fun. You know, it's a superhero movie. I knew what I was in for when I turned it on. So, you know.
And you didn't pay for it, right?
What's that?
You didn't pay for it, so.
It's just part of HBO. So, yeah, I was.
I saw it in theaters, and I kind of had mixed feelings about Shazam. I mean, I liked some of it, but I felt that they didn't know where they wanted to go with the film.
Okay, that's fair enough. I mean, the end and kind of what happens to other characters coming into it, I was like, oh, okay. You know, and like that was a fun way to end it, but it's not like I'm invested in it. You know, it's not like it's like, you know, Batman where I'm going to fight someone to the death on the internet because like, oh my God, they like, you know, put Robert Pattinson in my movie.
He's running around carrying that bomb, right? Are we talking about the original Batman?
Oh
yeah, or
carrying the bomb that has "bomb" written on it.
Yeah, hey, they have to let the audience know
that shit is the bomb.
Well, it's also
the 60s. We needed help
because you kind of go into that film because it's DC for one.
Yeah,
it's going to be a fun, lighthearted kid film because it's about kids that you know that one of them becomes a superhero.
Right. But,
and there's two scenes in it that are dark as hell.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And you're like, whoa, that came out of nowhere. And it just, and so you, that's what I mean. It's like somebody, it was like, it's like George R. R. Martin writing. It's like, you know, I'm writing a really nice scene. All of a sudden it's like, I should throw some tits in there. Like, you know, it's one of those where like,
no, I'm with you on this, yeah. This because, okay. Just for some perspective. Okay, you know, like there's a lot of different movies or whatever, action movies or superhero movies that I'll watch with my son, right? Yeah. You know, I'm like, okay, my daughter doesn't want to watch Spider-Man. She doesn't give a shit about Spider-Man because it's a man, whatever.
I agree. I'm not a Spider-Man fan.
I know your opinions on Spider-Man. They're well known. You know, he's both blue and red, and you can't decide if he's a Republican or Democrat. I get it. Okay. But Spider-Man, though, you know, like my son and I, like we can watch it, and there's some cussing that happens and some allusions to some other things. But still, when I watched Shazam, I was like, whoa, this went like further, like in the PG-13 rating, where I was just kind of like, I don't know if I can really watch this with him yet. Like I just felt like it went further down the, so.
But you know, what you cracked me up is you mentioned you watched a movie on HBO. I can't remember the last time I watched a movie on HBO.
You're just always watching the TV shows?
I'm watching TV shows. I got to watch Succession. I haven't started Succession season 2 yet.
Yeah,
and Silicon Valley.
I'm like episode 4 in Silicon Valley, but I've stopped because I'm watching the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
This season or the whole show?
Oh no, I started Silicon Valley from the start.
Okay, yeah.
To be fair, when I first started Silicon Valley, I go, oh, this must be a mini series on I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be about Silicon Valley, and I started watching. I go, "Oh, this is funny." I go, "Oh, it's a T."
Sorry.
Oh my God! Again.
What?
Nice produced podcast.
Look,
you did this last time.
Okay, I have a timer on my phone to remind me to move the fucking elves. Okay, like we have this infestation of elves that came into our house. They watch the kids. You know, I feel like it's a whole Big Brother scam, you know? So,
I should say this before. Can't you get elves on the shelves? Let's get the invention out there that they just move. They're remote control. They move themselves.
They move themselves.
It doesn't have to be moved either.
It's like they finally came out with the Christmas tree holder that I always said they should have, where it goes and clamps to it. Where it comes and it clamps to the trunk.
Oh, like as you set it down, it just clamps?
Well, you know, you tighten it, dum-dum-dum-dum-dum, and it has these things, and it clamps onto it. Cool. Instead of putting those screw things into it like this, you're trying to balance it out. Yeah. Also, I said you have a reservoir. You put the water in. It's like 3 feet high that holds like 10 gallons of water that looks like a present.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You just pour the water in there. It goes in there. So we need some water. It's not where you have to reach underneath the tree, put your hand. Is there water in there? Oh no, let's put some water in there. Oh, I'm spilling it all over the floor because I can't get the angle of the cup into the.
I like your present idea too, because you know the present reservoir keeps the other animals out too, because you know you got the cat, the dog. They're gonna like, oh, this is some good water because you know it's touched the tree, so I gotta drink that shit.
Yeah, they can't touch it because it has a little straw that goes in, and you know the tree's thirsty. It's just like the whole hamster thing. It just drinks the water as it goes along.
Trees and hamster are pretty much identical.
So someone stole my idea of the clamp
that
I've had for like 20 years. And now someone will probably eventually steal the reservoir. And someone's making billions of dollars. I'm podcasting with Matt, who has a phone that goes off.
That's just your own fault, Jack. If it's been 20 years, we're not patenting it.
I talked to this guy that I used to work with, Kevin, who can invent everything. He goes, I'll get around to it. And he never got around to it. I want him to build the prototype, and I would say, I'll go sell it. I'll go patent it. But he never did it. So it's on him, really, right?
You're going to blame your own laziness on somebody else? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm like, you ever see Night Shift?
Of course.
I'm Michael Keaton's character, Blanjasky. Was it Blaze Blanjasky? What was his name? Not Chuck. Chuck was Henry Winkler. What was his name? He was an idea man.
Oh yeah, sure.
What was his name? Is Blake?
I have no idea.
Oh, come on,
just let it go.
I'm Michael Keaton's character in that movie. Okay.
Sure, we all want to be Michael Keaton in a Henry Winkler world.
I'm an idea man, Chuck.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like I learned that a few months ago that like Michael Keaton was my age when he was Batman. And you're like, damn. Because, you know, you think, like, when you're a kid, when Batman came out, you're like, oh, like, he's so old. You know, he's an adult.
One of us wasn't a kid. I think I was his age when he was Batman.
No, you're younger than him.
I'm only, like, four. He's, like, 60-something.
I think I think he's born in 52, whereas you're 62.
Is he older than me?
I think he's 10. I think he's 10 years older than you.
Then why do I look older than him?
Because you're not using the right moisturizers.
He was also, it's because, you know, little trivia here. He was also on Mary Tyler Moore did a variety show that didn't make it. He was one of the people on the variety show.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he's born in 52. Cause I think he was 30 when he did Mr. Mom. So.
Yeah. But anyway, that's some trivia there for your Mary Tyler Moore fans and Michael Keaton fans. He was
born
on that show.
September 5th,
1951.
Okay. Wow. So 11 years older than me. Yeah. Was it Pennsylvania he was born in?
It does not say where he was born, but.
How does it not say where he was born in?
Oh, it's right here. It says it was born in Get Off My Jock, Jack. He was born in. Actually, he was born in Pennsylvania. He was born in I don't really know how to pronounce this city. Coraopolis.
Sylvanians like to stick together.
It's okay. for you know, like mentally picturing it, this place is just south. No, I'm sorry, northwest of Pittsburgh. So
Pittsburgh,
in Pennsylvania, not in.
So something else that Michael Keaton and I have in common: we're both born in Pennsylvania.
Both born in Pennsylvania, and both.
Which brings me to you ever remember? Do you guys ever play that trivia game that was on where you could, on your phone? You'd challenge people with a trivia game.
Yeah.
And you had to ask a question. It was how many states start with the letter P? And I'm like going, start with the letter P. I go, none. I clicked it real because you had to do it so fast. I went, how stupid am I? I was born in a state that started with the letter P. Anyway. I'm big enough to admit that I made that mistake. So
I always like state trivia. I think that's one of the questions I asked you on the last time we played trivia was like, yeah, what state is the most eastern, western, and northern state?
Yeah, I remember that question.
Yeah,
I don't remember the answer.
Oh,
remember the but that was a show that used to be on was it the History Channel? How the states got their shapes?
Right.
Yeah,
I used to love that show. Yeah. Actually. I think that might have been the last show we watched as a family.
I never got through all the states.
So. Yeah, I don't think they ever did them all.
But, yeah, I don't think they did either.
So. Well, they got the South. I stopped caring.
Yeah, there's a book out there that you know that tells them all. Okay, Jack.
There's a National Geographic show called "How Dogs Got Their Shape."
How so, dogs? Oh,
yeah.
All the inbreeding.
No, it's all about like.
Are we talking about the South again?
I don't know what you're implying there. I mean, Jack.
You live there, Jack. So
I do. I do live here. That's why I said 23andMe is a new dating site for the people in the South.
Wow. Well, there goes all of our Southern listeners.
Yeah, that would have been like, you know, if someone said 23andMe is a dating website, I would probably think, wow, that's an orgy website.
Yeah. I got all these cousins I didn't know about.
Swingers.
23. I just need one other person.
Mm-hmm. Let's just go with. Yeah. It's just been the me up until now.
What'd Matt do? Is Matt left?
I guess. Yeah. I guess he got tired of you insulting the South. He's from the South.
So. I kid the South because I've been here for so long. 17 years I've been here. No, wait.
And yet you still don't have an accent.
I don't. I don't have the accent.
You need to just watch Bond, you know, whatever his name is.
Daniel Craig.
Daniel Craig, and start doing the Foghorn Leghorn, you know, because constant.
Do you ever when you watch
now Jay or Kayla or whatever, like, hey, I watched your child the other day and I had poop, by God, all over my lap.
From here to there, and yeah, it was everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
A couple times, though, I did notice he lost his accent.
Mm.
Because it's I don't know about you, but when I know that someone, like, especially someone who's British, is trying to do an American accent, I try to listen for it. Because the guy in Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, yeah.
A couple times I went, he kind of lost his – I didn't know he was British. I didn't know. And I was like going,
Going back to SNL – it's actually a sketch I only watched one time, but it's hilarious. I bet you could Google it. It's Colin Firth years ago, probably 15 years ago, where he's hosting SNL and he's going to be in a Civil War piece movie. And he goes, you know, he's doing his regular accent, but he's like, it's every British actor's dream to do a Southern accent. You know, and he can't do it. He can't do it. It's like, it's like, we gotta go down to the die. They just keep, you know, going action, action. It's just, he just butchers it. And it's so hilarious.
I've never seen that. I gotta go watch it.
Yeah. Because Colin Firth is a great actor, you know, but he's doing it on purpose. He's just butchering it.
The King's Speech, right? He's,
yeah.
Which is a great movie. People should see it.
Yeah. I know a lot of people, like speech pathologists, that love that because, like, that's one of those, like, it's like, hey, like, it shows kind of like what we do, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. We are at an hour and a half, so
a little, like, past that. A little past that.
A little past that.
Where did you go, Matt? Did you just get? You, all of a sudden, you left the screen.
You got bored with us?
I got bored. I was just like, oh fuck. They talk I about have to hang out with these two assholes anymore.
They talk about movie pickles one more freaking time.
I mean, I just wish Chris was here to take off this heavy load.
Chris would be Googling by now.
If any of the listeners are wondering, Chris is not here. He could not make it, sadly. So hopefully he will be able to come back. So he has some family things going on. We won't elaborate any further than that, but we wish him the best. So,
yes.
Wish that he could be here with us. So we miss Chris, and I know he misses hanging out because this is always kind of
this is our hangout time.
This is our hangout,
my hangout time, because I'm usually dealing with kids that can't speak, even though my granddaughter is now almost saying thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You consider it a speech pathologist?
No, I just say, I don't put any pressure on kids.
Do you the sign language stuff like more?
She all of a sudden, we can't figure out where she got, she started doing it, and we're like going, well, who taught her that?
Oh.
Because it wasn't me. I mean, I didn't teach her that. Because I did say, hey, do you want mac and cheese? Because I showed my wife, she has this applesauce stuff they squeeze.
Yeah.
And like when she wakes up from her nap, she's like really cranky, like really, and she's like the meanest person alive when she wakes up from a nap. She's just not happy.
Yeah, that's
my son. I try to make her happy and stuff like that. Hey, do you want milk? Do you want this? So I go, hey, do you want some applesauce? She goes, smacks it out of my hand and goes all the way across the floor. I go, so you don't want the applesauce? And my kids are like, wait, what would happen if we had done that as a kid? I go, you wouldn't be standing here. my grandkid can do that. I go, okay, so we don't want the applesauce. What would you want? You want some mac cheese? She goes. So I know she wants some mac cheese. Nice. But she shakes her head no to everything. I go, do you want some yogurt? Then she takes the yogurt. I go, do you know it's yes. I'm trying to work with her and stuff like that. But she is starting to say thank you because I brought her. She likes to watch the show Bubble Guppies.
Oh yeah,
which I don't understand. I don't get that show because they have a giant guy that goes. He's a group. What's a fish? Grouper.
You got me. I just know the name and the fact that it exists. I don't know the plot. I mean,
I call him Mr. Groper. I go, is this guy had like a have they done like a background check on this guy because he's always around these kid fish. I mean, I'm not buying it. I'm here to help you. I'm here. Yeah, okay, Mr. Groper. I don't trust you.
I think it's the fact that we watch adult TV shows. So when you do watch kids shows, you're like, everyone's a suspect. Okay, like I don't trust anybody. Oh. And that kid over there, that kid's an asshole.
So yeah. Well, the other day, they're in, one of the kids is stuck in a tree, and I'm like going, they're underwater. He's a fish. Just swim down. Can't he just swim down?
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm the asshole
for thinking that. But yeah. Anyway, so yeah. She liked that. So we have a Bing Bag chair that was. It's actually Zach's Bing Bag chair, but he's not here, so we can use it. And so I go, hey, you want some hot dogs? And she walks up. She sits over. She goes over and sits by the TV and waits for me to put it on Bubble Guppies. Bubble Guppies,
yeah,
because she's usually sitting there trying to figure out the remote. At 16 months, I go, what are you doing? And she's like,
all right. Anyway. One thing I will recommend for littles, and I did this with my kids. They learned their letters so well. Was
writing with a poop?
No, opposite of that. Complete opposite of that. Don't ever let your kids play with poop, people. Can I finish?
Like I don't know if you can finish anything, man. I don't know. Like, you're driving me crazy.
Like, I always feel like Ross Perot or what. Can I finish?
Can I finish, Larry?
No, there's a DVD set out there, totally worth the cost or whatever you need to pay for it, called Meet the Letters. So it's very simple, very basic.
Is it a sequel of Meet the Fuckers?
No. Okay. No sequels at all. Not even related to anything with that movie. But it's so basic because it shows kids the simple letters, and then they it just kind of repeats it, you know, like A, you know, and it'll show like uppercase A, lowercase A, and it moves on to B. It's a little methodic, a little crazy, and totally worth the nap time. But
nap time for the adults.
Nap time for the adults. But both my kids, hands down, learned their letters, and they also have a series called Meet the Sight Words, where it allows them to kind of like learn certain words early on just by their sight. For starting parents out there, Meet the Letters. I highly recommend it. It works. My daughter was 18 months old, knew her letters. I kid you not. Yeah. So it works for sure.
Does that have a cool song like Bubble Guppies? Bubble Guppies.
No, there's no songs. There's no like other commercial like nefarious purpose for this. There's no Baby Yoda involved at the end. It's just letters. So there's a book too that kind of goes along with it, but you don't need the book. You can just have the DVD.
All right. Okay. All right.
Big suggestion though. I really do think it works really well.
All right. So. I will suggest it to my daughter.
Yeah.
Who's a teacher, but I was like, math.
they make, you can even check it out from the library too. So if you have a library card, just go to the library if you want to check it out and see what it's like.
That's an episode of Bubble Guppies. He loses his library card.
One. Oh,
I mean, there's only six fucking kids in the whole show. I mean, like the library's not going to know it's him.
What's a library card?
Do you have your card? No, Mr. Grouper took it.
It's
Mr. Groper.
Nick, you were going to say something.
I said, what's a library card is what I said. But because you guys are such responsible parents and grandparents. If it was me, and if I knew something like German, like Matt or Latin, I would just babysit my grandchild and only speak that third language. And then when the kid actually spoke to my kids, and they'd be like, she's like, do you want apples? 9999. They wouldn't know what was going on. Like, why is my kid speaking German to me? Dad, why is the kid speaking German? I don't know.
And this is why we need a spouse. So, female or male,
the kid learning German has the urge to take over the house, right?
Yeah, right.
He's just not happy with his room. He has to have everybody's room.
Exactly. He's a very disciplined child.
Yeah. At least he uses the artichoke method to take over the rest of the house. So,
needs breathing room.
I'd love for this episode to go longer. We're already supersized and we don't have any bonus material because this is the bonus, right? Like we've gone almost a half an hour over our normal.
I think so. So screw the patrons, man.
We love the patrons.
It is funny how much more we talk when Chris isn't here.
It is, right? I miss Chris, but wow.
Well, to be fair to Chris, he usually has to go to bed.
And yeah.
To be fair to me, I got to get him 6 hours too, but it's like,
to be fair to me, this is my third beer, so I don't know what's going to happen after this show ends. But
I have trouble sleeping. So what I've been doing is I've been taking two NyQuil. They have pill form,
mm-hmm.
and drinking a drink
with
the pill, and I sleep for 4 or 5 hours straight now.
Yeah.
No back pain, nothing, because I'm literally out, but when the alarm goes off, I go, okay, I'm up. I'm ready to go.
Oh, wow.
Not really, but I get down. I go, because I got the first grandkid comes at 6:20. Next one comes at 7:20. And, of course, the other one, when Ava sees Hayden, which is the 3-month-old, she doesn't like sharing the house.
Oh, sure. So it's on.
She's like, she just looks at him like, him, really, again? she doesn't speak, but that's what she's saying. It's like she's a different – when he leaves, she's all happy and he's taking a nap. It's all about me. last week, she wasn't feeling well. I'm feeding him a bottle, and she's like bugging me and bugging. I said, well, sit here. She likes the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
She'll watch it. Well, I mean, it is pro-women.
She does. She'll watch it, and then but after I was done giving him the bottle, I had to give her a bottle of milk and feed her because she wanted me to do the same thing. I'm like going, really?
Yeah.
And then she took the bottle and took it. And then she's usually uses a cup, but she had to have a bottle too, because that's what I was doing with him. She doesn't like to share, because Zach doesn't like to share his time. Alex doesn't like to share his time with Ava. Ava doesn't like to share his time. poor Hayden's, you know, he's a little man on the totem pole right now. So it's just funny how kids.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They, especially when they come to the grandparents' house, it's like Zach, he was king of the castle for the longest time. He did whatever he wants. Now, sometimes you throw three kids in here and he's like, what the fuck? What the fuck's going on here? It's just funny how the kids, they just have to learn how to, it's not all about you now.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah.
It's something that you've never understood, Matt.
You're right, Jack. It's not all about me. And on that note,
I wish this was live because Matt's face was great. I just
thanks. Yeah, no, it's not all about me. It's about the patrons that make this show possible, as well as any way that you can help out the show. Rate, review us, send us an email. You know, there are a couple patron or emailers that I meant to send out their artwork. I'm really late on that, so if you're hearing this just now, really, really sorry. But
it's the holidays.
You're on my mind. I have a list of things to do, and you're on it. So
if you should be singing a Melvin song. You were always on my mind. Because because he was singing about Priscilla, right? Priscilla, right?
Oh, well, it's a Willie Nelson song.
Yeah,
when he's singing though, isn't he singing about Priscilla?
I think he's actually singing about Willie Nelson.
Yeah. Willie was singing about weed.
Weed. Oh yeah. That was always on his mind. What song was he singing? He was singing a song to Priscilla. Anyway, I can't remember what it was
when
he was.
Yeah, cheating. Suspicious Minds.
Suspicious Mind.
maybe we'll come back with a versus or like trivia. We've talked about both. It's kind of hard coming up with a holiday versus because we've done most of them. We've definitely talked about that. So tune in next week. Perhaps we'll come back with a holiday themed or a trivia. Like they're both up in the air, right, guys?
Yeah, yeah. True. And you know, actually, I was talking to people. They want us to do Merry Men. You know, relationship advice.
Oh,
we could. If you listen to us, we're pretty spot on about stuff. So, if you want,
I just gave great advice for parents for Meet the Letters. I'm telling you, this is a great DVD. Simple, very educational.
Ben Stiller is the guy reading the letters. It's
right, not involved with this at all.
It's me!
And neither is Robert De Niro, but. What is involved, though, is iTunes. You can go to iTunes, give us a review, just give us 5 stars. That would be appreciative. Tell us that I don't know what you're holding up. What are you holding up there, Jack?
Santa Claus.
Oh, it is. No,
it's just a card sitting here. I'm in my wife's room because she keeps pointing out how I've taken over her room.
Oh, okay. So on with the show, Amazon.com/JanJack. You can buy all your Santa Claus cards to outdo Jack, or you can buy Meet the Letters, which, by the way, is a great, great parenting tip there.
Or you can get Mary Tyler Moore all 6 seasons, or is it 7 seasons?
Or just get Hulu. Whatever you want to do on Amazon, is up to you.
To be fair, we don't make any money on Hulu.
Right. But whatever you do on Amazon, that is up to you. But we do appreciate it if you use our Amazon affiliate link. A little bit goes to all the podcasters on the network. There's lots of great shows to enjoy, including one that Nick and I do, Owen and Brew's Barbecue, which we already talked about.
Which I was finally on an episode.
You were finally on an episode. As we've been covering The Mandalorian, we've had a new visitor every episode so far.
You took a step down last week, though, right?
What?
You kind of reached the bottom of the barrel, right?
What are you talking about?
Who was your guest last week?
Are you dissing Mike Bloom? Are you talking about?
I'm sorry. I was thinking 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, you're just wanting to shit on your son. I get it.
Oh, that guy. No, Mike Bloom is excellent. But yeah, the other guy is like.
All of our guests have been great. So, you know,
who didn't you like? Because you kind of said, all our guests have been
great.
So you're kind of saying one wasn't.
I'm not. I didn't even imply that. Okay.
Nick, you're watching it. Did he have that look like one of the guests wasn't up to snuff?
I think he was referring to Chris.
Chris has been getting a lot of shit. So anyway, there are other shows on the podcast networking. You can also enjoy The Watchmen. We've been covering that. There's one more episode to go. Apparently,
I apologize. Dancing with the Stars. Jay doesn't know this, but Dancing with the Stars is over. You can still listen to the podcast, but it's over.
Yeah. Jay isn't always up to speed on all of those things. So. And also the broadcast, check the broadcast out. That is, also running strong. There's other ways that you can help us out. Go to patreon.com/JayandJack or JayandJack.com. You can find all of the links, whether it's Patreon or Amazon on
the sausage links or
what's up?
Are they sausage links or just
no, they're straight up like fat, like juicy links. So okay, cool. Yeah. Nice. They're manly sausage links, like all the sausage all the time. Anyway, what I was going to say is at this point, we would like to say, great show, kids, one in a million. Jack will tell you the patrons. See how I did that? Because I get my call sign and you can do the patrons.
Maggie the Magnificent. Ed the Creepy Letter Carrier.
Tack from Paris.
Joanne with a Plan.
Eckhart Richter.
Who's on my Mandalorian show this week?
Yeah, Drake the Destroyer. Is that it? Do we have one more? I've never actually said them, so bear with me here, people.
That's pretty good. Ed the Creepy Letter Carrier.
Yeah, you said Ed, right?
Oh, did you? You got them all then.
Yeah, cool.
And at least
yeah.
You said Tack from Paris. How long have we been telling Jay it's Tack from Paris?
Tack from Tokyo just rolls off the tongue.
It does because it was so long, but he's in Paris now.
So does Tack from Tatooine. So
yeah, exactly.
If you enjoy our antics, tune in next week. Maybe we'll be back. Hopefully Chris will be here. So great show, kids. One in a million. Screw you, Jack. You're not getting my call off song. Sign.
See you guys.
Great show, kids. One in a million. I think we should have a versus who does it better.
Great show, kids. One in 2 million.
Great show.
Great show, kids. One in 10 billion.
Great show, kids. One in infinity.
Infinity.